Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices. I'm your host, Fred Monroe. I'm glad you're with us today. Something that I tend to forget about rather early in the program, and sometimes it gets me in a little trouble, and that is this is a call-in program. This is Central Coast Voices. We're going to talk about filming on the, filming as in motion picture filming on the Central Coast and the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival. But we would like you to be part of the discussion if you wish to be. And the phone number is 805-781-3875. That's 781-3875. I've had a couple of times I've actually forgotten to give the phone number out for the first 10 or 15 minutes, and then I get scolded for that. So I'm sorry about that. But that's we'll remind you again later on. And this is, of course, public radio, say KCBX. This is a community radio station, and you are the community. We would like you to be part of the discussion. One of the goals of Central Coast Voices is to bring you credible and valid information and insights from diverse members of our community, the community of KCBX, stretching from Carpinteria all the way to Salinas, and on some good days even beyond that. And, of course, out on the web, you can reach us at kcbx.org if you can't hear us locally. Central Coast Voices wants to address today's choices and how they affect tomorrow's community and things that are going on in the long-range ramifications of how changes and events affect our society. This is a product and a project of Action for Healthy Communities, which puts out a report every year called Vital, actually every 3 years, pardon me, but it's available all the time, called Vital Signs, Understanding San Luis Obispo County. You can read that report and or download it or keep a copy of it. It's a large PDF, it's a series of large PDFs, and you can find that at actionslo.org. Both the most recent report from December 2013 and previous reports, and there'll be a new report getting done this winter also. Today we're going to talk about something that's been going on for a while, and most people like it. Most people think it's a delightful part of our community, and not enough people, in my opinion, attend it on a regular basis. And my guest today will probably... We'll talk about how that can maybe change for you if you can think about. We can share with you some good reasons to be part of the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival this year. And we're also going to talk about a liaison to that, which is the Film Commission. Visit San Luis Obispo County has an arm called the Film Commission. They basically work with organizations that are doing production in the area, actually production in the area, but they're from out of the area, and those really tie together quite a bit. My guests today are Wendy Edson, she's the festival director for San Luis Obispo International Film Festival, and Kylie Jepson, she is the Film Commission liaison at Visit San Luis Obispo County. Kylie, I'm going to start with you, because let's back up a second. Everybody probably knows what a film festival is. People may not know what Visit San Luis Obispo County is and or what in the world a film commission is. So why don't we start there and tell us about that?
Sure, I can help you with that. So okay. Visit San Luis Obispo County is our countywide tourism marketing organization. So the film commission is an arm or a branch of Visit San Luis Obispo County. Mm-hmm. And our purpose as a film commission is to be the first point of contact for any filmmakers that want to come into the area to shoot here. So we work with them to find locations, to help them get the proper permitting, point them in the right direction for the permitting offices. And then we also help them find lodging, help them find craft services, equipment, any kind of needs that they may need for their film.
Very good lead-in, because now we'll just throw it straight to Wendy, and that is how does the production of films in the county affect what goes on at the film festival, and how does the film festival affect people wanting to even come here to do films?
Well, that's a good question. I probably could go on and on and on.
Go on. Yeah, that's okay.
First of all, I'm very happy that we get to talk on this program today. So thank you for having us on.
Welcome.
And I'm also very delighted that I'm sitting here next to Kylie, because this is something that I've been wanting to sort of connect together for quite some time now. And everything takes longer than you think it's going to take. But the film festival each year brings into town 80 to 100 filmmakers. Some of them are within the sort of three counties, and we have a competition specifically for Central Coast filmmakers, which is exciting. But that's a whole other topic. But we bring in a lot of filmmakers, and they do come from all over the world. Many of them do come up from L.A. So I've always been, thinking, wow, we've got this great group of people, amazing group of people that are coming into our town. Let's show them what we have to offer here, because a lot of them are coming here to San Luis Obispo County for the first time, and that always amazes me as well. But a lot of filmmakers come up here. We put them in a beautiful hotel somewhere in the county, and they look around and go, why have I never been here before? And especially now, I mean, it's so green, and I think it looks like Narnia. I mean, it's unbelievable. So it's a great opportunity for us to be able to show off what we've got in this county to these filmmakers who may consider making a film here in the future.
How many films, let's pick the last 10 years, how many films have been made in San Luis County or the Central Coast generally?
Well, reporting in the past was always a little bit difficult for us, so I will say that. But just this,
we won't hold you to what you say. It can be an estimation, would be fine.
So just this past year, when we do record films in the area, we record by filming days. So we had about 271 filming days this year. I'm sorry, in 2015 in San Luis Obispo County, which equated to about 80 different films, and that ranges from feature length to short films to commercials to still shoots. There's a wide variety, music videos. So it just kind of encompasses a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I think back, the most noticeable film effort in the county that I know of a number of years ago was Arachnophobia,
yes.
Which probably gets talked about a lot.
I
just sweat when I think about it. But I loved the movie, but it made me nervous. But yeah, that's one of the most prominent movies that I know of that was filmed in the area. That there a film crew for that was here for a very, very long time.
They were, and we actually have a couple other pretty prominent films that I even made a little list that I brought in with me. But Pirates of the Caribbean was filmed here as well over at the Dunes. So that's a really noticeable one that a lot of people would recognize.
We did a whole series of films a couple of years ago as kind of a fall fundraising series that led right into the festival. And every month we showed a movie in the town that it was shot in. And so it was really fun for me. I got to do research on what actually had been shot here. And we started with The Ten Commandments, shot in 1923
in Oceano.
And we actually showed that in the Guadalupe City Hall, too, which was really fun. About 150 people came, and it was and the stories behind the making of that movie are just unbelievable. You can't even make this stuff up. And then everything from Arachnophobia, which we showed in Cambria, and Monster of Piedras Blancas, so we showed in Cayucas, that was shot in the 50s.
And not heard of that one. Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty hokey, but but it's so funny to see.
The 50s monster movies tended to be
hokey's
a good word.
Rubber
for it.
Suits were kind of the thing then. But it was really fun to see Cayucas, what it looked like in the 50s when there's hardly anyone living there, and a lot of different movies. What has changed, and Kylie can I'm sure to speak to this too, is that California went through kind of a difficult period when it became politically or budgetary, I guess it was more than that for more that for production. But they were leaving California and shooting movies in other places, and I actually benefited from that. Being a Canadian, I was actually working as an assistant director in Canada. So taking advantage of a lot of that runaway production, and they were, a lot of producers were making their movies in other states because of the tax incentives.
Exactly. A lot of other states and countries were offering these tax incentives. And I know recently in the last couple years, California has actually started to offer incentives to these productions to bring them back home to film here within California. So to find out more information about that, they can visit the California Film Commission website. But this has really been a huge incentive for the California Film Commission to be able to do this.
Yeah. Well, I would think that even though there may be some economic advantages to be outside the state, there's still, from what I understand, there's still a tremendous amount of major film and television post-production that's still done in the Southern California area. Some of it's done in the Bay Area also. So I guess a lot of these organizations have some incentives to stay near home. I would assume that helps.
They do. And actually, the California Film Commission is even offering an extra incentive if they decide to go out of that Los Angeles radius. So that's great for us here on the Central Coast because we can, you know, hopefully start pitching some of these films that are getting these incentives and maybe even bring them here to our area, which would be awesome.
Right. Yeah. So it's changed. It's changed for the positive.
It has. Yeah.
Let me remind you that we're talking with representatives from the County Film Commission in San Luis Obispo County and the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival. If you'd like to be part of this discussion, the phone number is 805-781-3875. That's 781-3875. Your questions, observations, maybe some of your reminiscing about, meeting Steve Martin in a Tascadero one day and things like that that have come up that people think about from history. I think there's still people in a Tascadero I know that that talk about Steve Martin and crew pretty much taking over in the area all surrounding the Sunken Gardens and turning it into a little town. And the number of films that have been involved in with the Tascadero and San Luis Obispo. The film festival goes back, it's 1993, I believe, is when
you
started. I remember meeting Mary Harris, who was one of the original founders of it, and helping her with some things when I was in the luxury transportation business, which went well with a film group. And it started out as a very energetic effort, but rather small, and it's become, I would have to say, quite a bit larger than it was, drastically larger.
Well, good, and it should. You know, it's 22 years later, so hopefully it would have grown since then. But I think that what it began with was a very passionate group of people who love movies and did a great job. It was more of an old film festival, like old films, classic films. It was more focused on classic films in those days, and that was for about the first 10 years, and then the second 10 or 11 years now have been more focused on new films, cutting edge stuff that people haven't most likely seen because they've just barely been made. Some of them are not honestly probably not even quite finished. They appear to be finished, but what happens is sometimes filmmakers after Q&As that they have at film festivals will actually do some more editing based on what the feedback that they're getting. So it's an important stage for a film to go through, and there are huge film festivals. There are also medium-sized ones, which would be sort of Santa Barbara size, and then there are regional ones like ours that are just a great way to bring people in our area movies that they wouldn't see otherwise. Also a great networking opportunity for filmmakers, and they love coming to our area, which is nice. So
do you pick films to show? Do people kind of pick the festival that they want to showcase their films? And what kind of things do you showcase that maybe have never been seen before?
Yeah, we do premiere some films, and what happens is a filmmaker will finish their film, and then they'll start to apply to festivals. So festivals usually Toronto. Toronto is probably one of the largest festivals in the world. Cannes, Telluride, and Sundance are sort of the primo ones. Ideally, they want to get into those festivals, and of course, that's totally understandable, but a lot of them don't. They have thousands of festival entries. So we are in the sort of the next tier. And so a film will tend to go around the festival circuit for about two years mm-hmm. often before they get picked up by a distributor, or they decide to self-distribute their film. It may just be video on demand or distributed different ways.
We'll get back to that. We've got a couple of callers, and I don't want to make them wait too long. Rick, are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Hi, is this Rick?
Yeah, I can't hear you.
You can't hear me at all?
I hear a voice that sounds like it's 1,000 miles away.
Okay. I'm going to put you back on hold, then we'll figure out what's going on with the phones. But I'll put you on hold and we'll come back to you. I'm not quite sure what's happening with the phones then, so hold on. Okay, let's see. Okay, so we're going to go with line 3.
Hello.
Okay, Steve, are you there?
Steve is here, but okay. I can't break. well hear you.
Okay, then I'm going to put you back on hold while we find out what's going on here, and we'll try and solve the problem. So I'm sorry if our callers would hold on. For some reason, we're not getting a good flow of two-way conversation, so we'll come back to it. Sorry about that. Well, we can hear them, but they can't hear us, so we'll get back to that. So we were talking about the kind of films that you select. How many films do you average showing a year? Because I want to get an idea of how that compares with the number of people who submit films to you.
Yeah. Well, we start our competition. It's a worldwide competition in June, and it carries on through December. And in that time, we got about 750 films this year. So we have a panel of people, about 40 people. They are just average people in our community. They're not film scholars, or, you know, they don't all have degrees in filmmaking. They watch the films. I figure that is our audience as well. So that seems like a very democratic way to kind of weed out the films that may not make it. And then over time, we do weed them out, and we end up with about 72 films this year. So that it's a difficult it's like I don't like to complain about having to watch movies, but it is challenging to watch that, you know, to watch that many movies and make those difficult cuts.
Okay, I think we may have had the phones fixed thanks to Chris, our engineer. Hold on a second. Okay, so Rick, are you there?
Same problem.
Can you hear me now?
Barely.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, we'll try and listen to you. If you can hear us at least barely at this point, we'll try.
I can't hear you well enough to talk.
Oh, okay. Then I'll put you back
on
hold.
Okay, now I can hear you.
Okay, now we're okay. Alrighty, thanks. Okay, sorry about that. Technical difficulties. It's radio. It's electronics. What are your thoughts and what are your questions?
I only tuned in a few minutes ago, just before you gave up the number to call. But so I don't know if you already covered this, but what I'm wondering is, locally, you mentioned there was a San Luis County Film Institute or something.
There's a film festival we're talking about in San Luis Obispo, and the county of San Luis Obispo, through its Visit San Luis Obispo program, has a liaison office for dealing with film production.
Okay, so what I'm wondering is, do they ever source any talent locally in any respect, and if so, what type?
Okay.
Hey, Rick, this is Kylie talking here. Okay. So we do source talent locally. It just comes upon a request basis. So sometimes we'll get filmmakers who will call us and they say, hey, we need PAs. We need someone who can do rigging. And we have a list that we keep. So if you're more than welcome to reach out to us, you can check out our website, visitsanluisobispocounty.com. You'll find our contact information on there. And just shoot me an email with your information if you do work in the industry. We're happy to add you to that list.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Were you looking at production type things or acting?
No, I was looking at production type stuff. I used to do a lot of filming when I lived in Aspen. Hmm. And
yeah.
So I've got some familiarity with that, but I know that there's a whole bunch of different stuff involved. My son's in the industry in New York, and so I have an interest in it. I'm a photographer as well. But I was just curious, you know, if they ever source talent locally, and if so, what type, and so.
Okay. Something you might be interested in is that we're doing a panel specifically about this during the film festival. Mm-hmm. So on Saturday, March 19th, in our festival tent at 11 o'clock, we're doing a panel called Why Shoot in Slow, and we're going to be talking to filmmakers that are working actively right now, and Kylie's going to be there, and it's going to be really interesting. So
What day?
That's Saturday, March 19th, and it's going to be in the tent that we're putting up right behind the Fremont Theater.
Oh, okay.
And it's only $5 for these behind the scenes panels, so you have no excuses.
Okay.
And free coffee and donuts, I think, too.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Rick. Sorry about the technical difficulties. Okay. Let's see if we can get Steve now. Steve, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Great. Thank you for your patience. Jump in the discussion.
Yes, my call is basically a comment because as far as the International Film Festival's concern in San Luis Obispo. The very first one that I know of was in the mid-60s, 1964 or 65. It went for two nights at the Obispo Theater. Now, that that piece of history never seems to come to light in the subject of International Film Festival.
I've never heard that. Thank you for telling us.
Actually, Steve, I'd have to say that
maybe it's the Obispo Theater, which has been gone for many years.
There's an awful lot of people who've never heard of the Obispo Theater, but yes, I'm familiar with it.
They're not talking, no. But we could get something maybe from the Historical Society that would demonstrate when, indeed, it first began. And those were classic films, mostly European, Federico Fellini.
Who organized it? Do you remember?
So it was a lot of fun, and it was a first.
Yeah.
Those were three Cal Poly students and a businessman from Pismo Beach who rented the theater for those two evenings, and it was a lot of fun. That's the end of my story.
Okay. What was the year again you believe it was?
I'll say 64. Okay. It may have been 65.
Okay.
Very interesting.
Arnie,
thank you for
letting
us know.
Thanks very much for the insight. That's very interesting. And thanks for your patience while we sorted the phone lines out. Take care.
All right. Okay.
I want to remind you, you can call in, and I believe we have the technical difficulties solved now, so you can call in, and we won't abuse you while you sit on hold. The phone number is 805-781-3875. That's 781-3875. Wendy, this year, and I apologize, I don't remember names very well, and that's why I bring a lot of notes sometimes. There's a film about East L.A. that's being, I'm not sure if it's being previewed here or if it's actually already out. It's a documentary about East L.A. and some things that happened down there, and it involves some local,
yes,
I guess, Cal Poly alumni as subjects of the film.
Yeah, it's called East L.A. Interchange, and it's not out there in the world yet, but I'm doing the festival circuit. It features Floyd Jeter, who's an athlete who lives in this area and is from East L.A. Mm. And it talks all about, it's Boyle Heights, which I didn't know. I mean, I'm from Toronto. I didn't know anything about it. That's one of the things I love about watching all these documentaries that we get submitted, is you always learn something new every time you watch something. But, yes, that's a very good documentary, and I believe we'll have the director here, Betsy Kalin. And hopefully Floyd Jeter is also going to be there. Father Greg Boyle is featured in it, and we had a great movie that was all about him.
We've talked to him about a couple of times on the program.
Yeah, he's amazing. So it's a great documentary. Yeah. Everything's playing twice, by the way, and our schedule's online at slowfilmfest.org, so you can see exactly what's happening each day of the festival, March 15th through the 20th, and that one is playing at the Mission Cinemas. Thursday and Sunday. And the Mission Cinemas, just in case everyone's going, what? Mission Cinemas? What? Where are they? The Mission, kind of like the Obispo, I guess, in a way. The Mission Cinemas were pretty viable theaters up until digital took over and 35mm was out. And they decided not to upgrade those theaters. So they basically just closed the door. So three screening rooms have been sitting there pretty inactive for the last two or so, maybe 3 years, and they're right next door to the Fremont Theater. So we're really going to have an exciting festival block.
Yeah, not to be confused with the Italian restaurant on the other side of the Fremont Theater, so it's easy to figure out where
which
they
we
are.
We have done movies there, too. So Mission Cinemas are actually great little theaters, and well, not that little, actually. They're going to be some of our largest theaters this year. There's two 200-seat theaters in there and one 120-seat theater, and we bring in digital projection, and the movies look fantastic, and we're going to have a lot of excitement. And just to mention, too, that almost all of these movies will have a director, producer, writer, sometimes cast members will be there. And that's what makes the festival so exciting. You're not just going to see a movie and get some popcorn and then leave. It's a whole experience that it's kind of hard to describe unless you do it. And you don't really get how cool it is. So I guess I just want to ask anybody who's listening to if you haven't tried it, do it. You will not be disappointed.
I think there may be a perception from some people that it's the kind of thing you have to pretty much buy the whole series for, but you can actually pay to go see one movie.
Absolutely, okay. One movie. And if you want to delve in a little bit more, we have passes that for sort of everybody. There's anybody's depending on how much time you have and how much money you have, I guess. But but the great pass that will help you get priority seating is the Movie Fanatic Pass. And basically, we punch that one. There's six. So one person can see six movies, or two people can see three movies. And I always recommend that one because it's a great sort of starter package, training wheels for a film festival. And then you can see three different films and just see. You'll see. You will like it. I mean, complain to me later if you don't.
Yeah. I have to attest to that as well because, I mean, I'd, you know, only really started attending film festivals probably in the last 5 years and had the opportunity to go to the Slow Film Fest the last few years. And I have to say, the opportunity to see a film, whether it's a documentary, a feature, a short, and then be able to listen to the filmmaker or the producer afterwards, it's like nothing else. It just brings a whole other element to the experience, and you really come out of there learning something, not just about filmmaking, but just about the industry in general. It's really cool.
Yeah.
You do kind of theme showings, I guess. There's what sticks in my mind is, I'm not sure if you do it every year, and I haven't looked at the full schedule for this year, but you have done a lot of surf movies.
Yes.
60s and 70s surf movies.
Yeah, it was funny because it was the year I started. My first festival was 2006, and the idea was tossed out, and I'd like to say it was mine, but I don't think it was. let's try.
You latched onto it quickly.
Yeah, I latched onto it pretty fast. Let's try a surf movie at the Fremont because, you know, we had the extra big screen. And so we did Riding Giants that year, and we had one of our board members organize that. And we had a couple of legendary surfers attending, and Stacy Peralta, a filmmaker that made that movie. And it was a huge success. And we knew we were onto something good. So we've been doing surf nights ever since then. This is our this will be our 11th surf night. It's my 11th year. This is our 11th surf night coming up. And they're very fun because they bring in an audience that may not be attending the rest of the festival. They come specifically for surf night. And so it's like a pilgrimage, like an annual pilgrimage. And it's not all surfers, but there are a lot of surfers. And we usually fill the Fremont, which is 900 seats.
Are there other themes like Vampire Night and stuff like that?
This year there is. yes, we're opening with a classic vampire film, which is going to be so much fun. It's Nosferatu, the silent classic,
goodness,
and we have German pianist Marcus Horn coming to play live, and he played live here 2 years ago with Metropolis, which if you ask anybody who attended that, they're still raving about it. He's an amazing pianist, and he makes it fun, and that's going to be at Spanos Theater, which is a beautiful theater, too.
Oh, great.
And he's
how
playing
exciting.
A beautiful piano.
Yeah, so okay. So other themes of the festival this year? I mean, we've gotten the extreme. Surfing and vampires. There's got to be things a little bit more civilized in the middle.
There's so many things. And I guess I try not to get too niched with anything because I the thing I love about our festival and I love about programming is that I want there to be something for everyone. So I would never want to do like, you know, all day we're doing Westerns or something, you know. It just would be the thing I love about it. If you look at through our festival guide, hopefully everybody says, oh, I want to see that. So there's not, the theming isn't too intense, but wine is definitely one of the things that we like to make part of the festival too. And this year we also have an exciting alliance with the Paso Wine Alliance people. They're doing a Zinfandel oriented festival that weekend in Paso Robles, so we're tying in with them, and they have a symposium and happening, and then right after that we're doing the movie Psalm Into the Bottle, which is a sequel to the original Psalm, and we have Master Sommelier Fred Dame coming. He's in the movie, and possibly another sommelier, and then after that is an after party that involves wine and desserts and stuff, so that should be fun. And that's actually the same night as surf night, so if you're not into surfing, you know, you can go to the wine movie, and we have so many other things playing at the same time.
Actually, let me remind folks that you're welcome to call in and be part of this discussion. It's not a wine discussion. It's a film discussion if you came in the last few minutes. But this is Public Radio KCBX. We hope you're joining us and enjoying the program today. The phone number is 781-3875. If you happen to be listening on the World Wide Web, that's 805-781-3875. Wendy brings up an interesting side to this, Kylie, because the the question about what films do to tourism and attitude. If you talk to our listeners and people down in the San Ynez Valley, you will hear people say that the whole wine, the character of wine and what is produced in the San Ynez Valley and maybe the entire Central Coast changed with a movie called Sideways. A movie that for some of us we love to hate, but that's another issue altogether. And not the movie side of it. My wife says that a movie about people who are going to get married soon that go crazy is kind of strange to her. But sorry about that. Anyway, that's a film that really affected the Central Coast. It affects all the way to Paso Robles and Monterey County because there's now, I guess it was. I'm trying to remember. It was Merlot, I believe, was the featured wine. Now that I think about it, was it Pinot? Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. Anyway, Pinot Noir. I should have known that beforehand. but that was not that heavily produced wine until that movie, and so it did affect indeed the economy of the area. You go all over San Ynez Valley, and you will see signs that say, you know, this part of the movie was shot here, or something was shot in this tasting room, or this patio, or this park area, and at a winery. So it's indeed affected that part of the Central Coast a lot.
Yeah.
How does it affect? What kind of repercussions, I guess, and residuals do you hear about things beyond just Sideways?
So, yeah, I mean, filmmaking really does affect the economy on the Central Coast and especially here in San Luis Obispo County. That movie Sideways, it affected everyone on the Central Coast, and it was a great economic booster for anyone in wine country. Specifically here on the Central Coast in the last year, we really seen a little bit of a jump in our economic impact with filming. Just this past year in 2015, we saw a $6.3 million economic impact with filming here on the Central Coast. So when filmmakers come here, not only are they showcasing the area in their films, but they're also staying here. They're eating here. They're using our hotels. They're filling up their vehicles here with our gas. So they're really creating a nice economic impact for our businesses in the area.
Yeah. I want to revisit that. We have a call. I don't want to keep our caller waiting for too long. So is it Francesca?
Hello there.
Hi, are you there? Go ahead. You're on the air.
I am. Yes, I had the privilege of working with Toby Halicki on The Junk Man, which was just outside of Paso Robles. And then in Paso Robles, we had Yvette Nimieux with a production where we had a big opening with a red carpet and everything. I can't remember the name of it, though, but it was a very popular movie at the time.
Do you recall what year that was?
It was Yvette Nimieux was probably around the 70s when that was made in Paso Robles. And we did a big parade for them and everything. And then Toby Halicki did The Junk Man. He was the one that did the original Gone in 60 Seconds. And later died doing one of his, in Long Beach, doing a stunt. Mm. But was quite adamant about making movies and stunts and car crashes. Mm. It was kind of interesting.
Yeah, Francesca, we have so much local talent here. I mean, there's so many people that have worked in the industry that come here to the area and decide to film here. And it's pretty incredible when you start to dive into it.
And I had the honor and privilege of working for King Vidor when I was interested in filmmaking. I was doing editing with him for a film that he was making. He lived in Templeton at the time. So, yes, there is a lot of talent out here, and there still is. The Pioneer Players used to be very active in the Paso Robles area with a lot of talent.
Yeah. Thank you for your perspective on this. We appreciate the call.
Thank you doing the film festival. Love it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, she brings up a good point, and that is King Vidor is what the award that you give every year has his name on it.
It does. Uh-huh. And that goes back to the fact that he was a Central Coast resident, and it was Mary Harris and the people that started the festival back in 93 created that award right away, and George Sidney got the first King Vidor Award. And now George Sidney has the competition that we do every year named after him. And it's particularly exciting this year because Anne Margaret is getting our King Vidor Award. And she worked with George Sidney on both Viva Las Vegas and Bye Bye Birdie. So she was really excited to hear that we had an award, that we have filmmaker awards named after him. And she asked me specifically if she could give at least one of those awards out. So on Saturday, March 19th at the Fremont Theater, Alan Arkin, who got our King Vidor Award in 2010, he's coming back and he's going to present the award to her. And then she's going to have a conversation with Ben Mankiewicz from Turner Classic Movies channel. And then right after that, she's going to present the first George Sidney Independent Film Award. So should be a very fun evening.
Okay. And that's the winner of that is not announced yet?
No, it's a secret. Okay. We have those awards in five different categories. And then we will be doing Audience Awards and Central Coast Filmmaker Awards on Sunday at our closing night event, which is a sing-along, Bye Bye Birdie sing-along.
Kylie, when someone wants to produce a movie here, I mean, they have advanced scout crews and things like that. Somebody just, your phone rings or your email box gets full and somebody says, we're thinking about, simple things like we're thinking about shooting a car commercial and we want to do it on the beach.
Right.
Or we need to do a particular scene of a movie and the rotunda in the old city hall in Atascadero is ideal. We're only going to be here for a half a day. So there's all kinds of extremes of that. How does that process start, and how do you shepherd it through?
Yeah, so usually what they'll do is they'll give us a call at the Film Commission, and they don't know the site name that they're looking for, mm-hmm. but they will know exactly what their vision is. So they'll tell me
what their vision is. They'll send you a PDF or a JPEG.
Exactly.
Is this building in your county? I heard it somewhere there.
Yeah, okay. Or like just a random beach that they want to shoot on. So what we do is we just try to figure out what exactly they want to do. If they want to bring cars onto a beach, how many cars? What's the situation? And then we just try to find out what their vision is. So we give them a couple of different suggestions of locations. We have a location library, so we'll send them photos. Maybe of, Oceano Dunes or Atascadero City Hall, like you mentioned. And then if they're interested in a specific location, we'll put them in touch with the person who permits that location. So once they are in touch with that person, they fill out the permit, they get it all scheduled, and then if everything moves according to plan, they go ahead and, shoot their film there.
As you were talking, it occurred to me, because I forgot about this, I think in 1994 or 95, Little Giants was filmed in Arroyo Grande.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that because there was a little coffee bar across the street from where they were filming that movie that I used to hang out at quite a bit when I lived down in South County. And they took over this old gas station. They put a whole fresh facade on it. They took over the back of what amounted to a dirt parking lot and turned it into all kinds of stuff. And it was, I wish there'd been a time lapse of the process, because they changed all this stuff for the movie and then they unchanged it back. The side of the building where Klondike Pizza is in the village, they repainted over some signs on that to fit something they were doing. And then when they got done, they repainted the signs back to the original signs that were on the building and things like that. Fascinating to watch. But what occurred to me as I was thinking about that is, I suspect we live in a time where people complain about things. I suspect you get people who also say, my favorite street to get back and forth to work gets taken over by this film crew for a week, and they're all in the way. And how do those kind of things get sorted out?
Well, we really try to work with our permitting officials to ensure that those people are notified well in advance and ahead of time if there is going to be any street closures. We do require that they have CHP or, some type of governmental representative to assist with that. I mean, sometimes we can't really can't do anything about that. They have to close down a street in order for that, for them to get the shot. But it's really ultimately up to each individual city whether or not they want to allow them to do that. So even though, sometimes it does create a lot of changes, maybe on buildings or, street closures, things like that, I think the ultimate result is that we get, a great film that features our area, and it really promotes this area. So it's really something that's really nice.
I think we're lucky to be in a way that there's not that much shot here, so most people are sort of open to the excitement of it all. I've worked working as assistant director in a big city, in Toronto, which is used a lot for New York and some other big cities. In fact, they shot The Room there. There's a lot of stuff that shot in Toronto. People are way more, jaded, I guess. There's a lot more payola that goes into getting a movie made and getting people to agree to stuff. And there was a lot of annoyed pedestrians and stuff that I used to have to stop.
And as far as those kinds of changes in streets and buildings, that happens. That's very few and far between. Most of our bread and butter in the filming here is commercials, still shoots, things that really don't affect the rest of the public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we have a call here. I want to make sure we get a chance for it. By the way, if you still want to call in, we do have a few minutes left. The phone number is 781-3875. We'd love to have you part of the discussion. Okay. Giselle, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Jump on in the conversation.
Well, I think it's great that our film festival is expanding and bringing in more diverse elements. And I have a question. How do the unions figure in on this? Do you have to be a union member to work on the various sets, or is San Luis Obispo kind of free from those burdens in terms of AFTRA or SAG or whatever you call the screen builders, the set builders union?
That would really, Giselle, be up to each of the individual productions that are working on it. So we actually don't hire any of those people ourselves at the Film Commission. We give suggestions to the production company, and they're the ones who have to hire them out. So I can't quite speak for the people that work for the film festival, but as far as those that work on productions, they would contract directly with the production company. So it just varies between the different production companies.
So some of them may be union and some may not be union.
It gives students a chance to become union eligible by having that work under their belt, I would think.
Exactly. That can definitely happen, depending on how big the production is. But they could get experience working for a larger studio production or something that way.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. Yeah, actually, IATSE, it's the primary union organization for the production and the building side of that. My father was a carpenter for Paramount. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's and I believe that the unions for that are pretty open to people can join. I mean, they're given the opportunity of people who are members, I guess, first to do the work. But in a lot of cases, it's not the people who are employees, maybe in L.A. or New York, it's not worth them coming to a place like San Luis Obispo for a 3 or 4 day project. So you're finding that people, as you told the earlier caller, there's people who get an opportunity to do production type things. What we didn't talk about is there's been a number of like extra calls and things like that. I don't recall what the movie was for, but about a year or so ago, there was something made, either the newspaper or some radio announcement that they were looking for extras for a 2 or 3 day period of time. You could sign up someplace locally, and then they would sort through people. And does a lot of that happen?
Occasionally. I mean, it just depends, like I said, on the production that's coming through. Some productions only have 5 to 10 people that work with them. Mm-hmm. So sometimes those things do happen. They don't always come through our film commission office, because if they are, working with a private property for filming or things like that, they don't require permits. So they don't always come through us. So we appreciate it when we hear about all those things from the community, from anyone who may have filming being done on their property, to just keep us in the loop so that we can help with any needs that filmmaker may have.
A number of these, I mean, we've talked about feature films, we've talked about television. Do you get, for TV commercials, I think there's been a number of commercials shot in the area too, so does that become a they get treated by the Film Commission, I'm assuming, in the same way that a feature film would be treated, because they're filming regardless what the purpose is.
Right. Yeah, we do get a lot of commercials coming through here, especially car commercials. And they, spots that are really popular, the Oceano Dunes, Montana de Oro, they're really popular for car commercials. So we definitely get a lot of those inquiries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wendy, have you ever thought about maybe doing a montage of television commercials that were shot locally? Have you done that?
I've done it.
You have done it. Okay. Okay. All right.
It's actually films and commercials. And it's is it still on your website?
I believe so.
Yeah, okay. I actually made it for Visit San Luis Obispo Film Commission 2 years ago. And that was sort of in conjunction with this series of films that we were showing that fall called Slow County on the Silver Screen. Mm. And so it was a great way to promote what we were doing as well. But they've used it as a, you know, a way to show incoming filmmakers, you know, what has been shot here and the diversity of the locations that have been used. And I also just want to make sure we mention that Visit San Luis Obispo County has put together a tour specifically for the filmmakers and journalists that are coming into our festival. So all that last day, Sunday, March 20th, they get to go on a really great little tour of the county. And Kylie can maybe just say
we're so thankful to be able to work with the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival and with Wendy. She's been great about all of this. So we're working with them to bring filmmakers from the festival and take them out to see the county. So we're taking them through various locations throughout the county to do sort of like a film scout and give them ideas and opportunities to see these different locations to perhaps come back and be able to film in our region, which will again, you know, boost that economic impact that filming has in our area. So we had spots for 40. We're completely full.
Really?
That's great. Okay.
So we're really excited about it. Yeah.
One thing that we do too with filmmakers is we give them a wine tasting pass. And unfortunately, we've been so lucky to have the hospitality industry in this county just be so on board with what we're doing. They give us, you know, hotel rooms for filmmakers, and then the wine tasting pass is great because it gets them out and around, you know, sort of whether it's South County or North County or even right in San Luis Obispo, they get a chance to see, you know, what we've got to offer that way, and they're not just staying downtown the whole time.
And that's what we appreciate about the film festival. It is a county-wide event that really promotes the whole county, and that's something that we really focus on it. Visit San Luis Obispo County as well.
I recall from a number of years ago, and I can't remember the film I went to see at the festival, where I was talking to someone who was there, and I said, "Oh, gee, are you local and you coming to the festival?" And the individual said, "No, actually, I'm here for another film, but because I came for that film, I get the opportunity to look at all these other films in one place." Mm-hmm. So I think we tend to think of the film festival as just for us. Okay, just for the locals, but I guess the film industry does that. Looks at that kind of thing as quite a bit of networking.
It's great networking, and people do love coming here anyway. But it's this year particularly is going to be great because we have this wonderful tent, as I mentioned, sponsored by the city of San Luis Obispo, mm-hmm. and we're so delighted to have that support. And this year we're going to have almost all of our screenings happening in downtown San Luis Obispo, so everything's going to be walkable, except for a couple of events in different parts of the county. And that tent is going to give people an opportunity to be able to meet each other, see, talk. Chat, you know, drink wine, beer, whatever, and really bring people together in a great way that we've never been able to do before. Hmm. So
neat. The film commission. I want to get back to the film commission again.
Yeah.
Because it's, I think the film festival, obviously, Wendy, is very visible. I mean, people get brochures about it.
I hope it is. In the press. And you're helping to make it visible.
People know about it. I think that that what the film commission does is probably more on the radar. And one of our first callers brought up a very good point, and that is that there's an opportunity for work there too. What does the film commission do in the way of marketing or advertising to this market? Like, hey, you know, this was shot here. Have you ever thought about bringing something else here? Where do you find people who are thinking about doing a remote production somewhere? Because you can count on them only finding you, and you can count on a lot of referrals, hopefully, but that isn't always enough.
Yeah, so we do have a lot of marketing initiatives because as the Film Commission, you know, our purpose is really to promote filming in San Luis Obispo County. Mm-hmm. So we have a couple of different partners that we work with, the California Film Commission, the Film Liaisons in California statewide, which is also known as FLICS, and then the Association of Film Commissions International, which is known as AFCI. And through these different organizations, we get a lot of different leads throughout the year of people that are looking for specific types of locations. And what I do is I receive those leads and then I reach out to them, and, you know, proposed San Luis Obispo County as a potential filming location. We also are working with Wendy on this filmmaking familiarization tour for filmmakers on Sunday, March 20th. And then we're also hosting another one in May where we're going to be reaching out to film scouts and producers to bring them to San Luis Obispo County to show them what our area has to offer. In addition to that, we also attend two major trade shows throughout the year. So one is through the Film Liaisons in California, and that's in Los Angeles, where we meet with lots of different producers, film scouts, film managers. And we get to basically, you know, sit and talk about San Luis Obispo County. And the other one is for AFCI. And that one is a great trade show that we get to do the same thing at. And we just get a larger reach because that's more of an international trade show.
So, interesting. So there's actually like a national directory of film commissions in local places. So yeah. I could pick up the phone book of this and look for, okay, there's something going on I'd like to do. I want a railroad track on the beach or near the beach. I've seen an the horseshoe curve up behind CMC, and I want to find out where that is so I could go to the National Film Commission Association and somebody would help me track that down.
Yeah, they definitely would. So that's why being a part of these organizations is so important for us, because they're kind of that first door for filmmakers to go through. And then from there, it just kind of funnels down. So they're great partnerships.
It's a big business. This is a huge business. And for us to be able to be competitive with Napa, Sonoma, some of the other wine regions in the state, I think that is really important. And I just feel like we need to always be able to have that shot at producing the next Sideways, or at least being the location for the next Sideways. In fact, there is a filmmaker in the area in coming to our festival that is scouting for a wine-related movie. And, you know, those are the people that we need to capture and at least show them what we've got. And, of course, they're going to make their decisions based on.
Actually, okay, Kylie, I'll throw this out as a last thought, if you will. What is the most absurd request you recall receiving that wasn't feasible or was feasible and you're shocked too?
Oh, my goodness. I would have to think about that. We get all kinds of requests. You know, people that want to shut down just like road after road after road, or they want to, you know, Highway 1 is a really popular, really popular request. And even though sometimes, you know, Caltrans will be able to work with them, some people want, you know, they want to shut down all of Highway 1. And you're like,
can I do this film and run a big rig off of the cliff at Ragged Point?
Exactly.
Or can I guess I would think it would be a silly request. Can you find me an old house that's got a really, really neat old attic that I can put a whole lot of phony spiders in and make it work?
There you go.
And then you'd find a place out on Adelaide Road, which I've been to that house, and I think about it from the spider standpoint all the time. We're down to just a few more minutes. I want to give you both a chance to make sure that people understand a little more about what maybe we haven't caught. And Wendy, I'll start with you. So if people haven't thought about going to the film festival yet, and we'd like to make sure they think about going to the film festival, what can we leave folks with?
Well, I would suggest definitely spend a few minutes on our website, slowfilmfest.org. Go right to the schedule tab, and you can look at the schedule several different ways, by date, by category. And it also has our festival guide, which is in print as well, that you can flip through just like you were looking at it in print. There's a lot going on, but don't be intimidated. I guess that's my message to anybody who's thinking about coming. There is a lot happening at the same time, and there is a lot happening over the 6 days. But just pick a few things that look interesting and give it a try, because it really is a great experience. And one of the things that I always let people know, too, is that standing in line is actually a fun and a good thing, and it is part of the whole festival experience. You meet people that way. You chat about what have they seen, what have you seen, what's good, and it's really a fun. That's one of my favorite things about going to a film festival. You it's a whole social experience. So give it a shot.
Yeah. Well, I want to interject too. It's not expensive. I mean, the six film pass. How much does that cost?
That's $65, and really is great value. Even our
so
top,
about $11 a movie is all it's going to cost.
Right, okay. Right. Which will save you, because our regular ticket price is $12. Our even our most
still a good price.
Our most expensive pass is nowhere nowhere near what other festivals charge. It's $300, but it gets you into everything, which means also the parties, all the special events, and it's just a, it also gives all those passes give priority seating. So that's okay. Always a bonus.
Okay. Kylie, your chance. What do we want? What about what you do and what the Film Commission does? Did we not get to yet that you'd like to make sure people remember?
You know, I think we covered a lot of it, but I think just really emphasizing the fact that there is a Film Commission here in San Luis Obispo County. It's a division of Visit San Luis Obispo County, and we're here to help filmmakers. And if anyone is working with filmmakers, or if you do work in the film industry, please feel free to reach out to us. You can contact us through our website, www.visitsanluisobispocounty.com. There's a Film Commission button just at the top, and they can contact us through there and let us know of any filming that may be taking place on private properties. And if filmmakers are listening and they want to film in our area, we'd be more than happy to assist them. We're really happy to work with different productions that come through.
Okay. We didn't mention this, and it was in the back of my mind. I'm sorry I didn't mention it earlier. Visit San Luis Obispo County was formerly what we thought of as the VCB, right?
Correct, okay. Yes.
So there's not anything called the San Luis Obispo County VCB anymore. Someone rebranded that, and that is now Visit San Luis Obispo County.
That is correct.
Probably a wise decision and easier to remember and a great thing. What is your favorite film that's been shot here?
Oh, well, that is a good question. You mentioned Little Giants earlier, and I do love that movie. That is a great movie. But I'm also a Pirates fan, too. Okay. So looking forward to having maybe some more favorites coming down the line in the future.
Yeah. I've sweated through Arachnophobia at least two or three times, and that's one of my favorites, because it's the movie I love to break out of the sweat about, because I'm not very fond of.
I wish you'd come to our screening. We brought the spider wrangler up here from LA, and you put a tarantula on my shoulder, and yeah, it was a little.
My adult daughter, who is a middle school science teacher, has a pet tarantula that pet tarantula is over 20 years old.
Whoa!
So it's
they're pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, those don't bother me. They move slow enough, you can see where they are.
They're really furry, though.
You can't see. Yeah. Anyway, that's great. I thank you both. Let me remind you that this is Central Coast Voices. We've had a great time being with you today. And as I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, Central Coast Voices is a production of Action for Healthy Communities, which is a project of the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. And we're glad to do this every week. I alternate weeks with Chris Kington Barker. She will be your host next week. Her program is very interesting. Many veterans encounter a variety of problems in the transition from military service to being productive members of the civilian world. And there's a program called A Way Back Home, which is provided by Central Coast Veterans Helping Veterans. And it is a guided journey of reckoning and reconciliation between veterans and civilians. And it is basically a non-sectarian look at journeys for both spiritual and ethical things that veterans go through. So Chris Kington Barker will be with you next week, and she'll be speaking with the author and presenter of this program, Father Michael Cisanto, who also serves as the chaplain of Central Coast Veterans Helping Veterans. And that'll be a fascinating program next week. Central Coast Voices, as I've said before, is an Action for Healthy Communities project in collaboration with KCBX Public Radio. Our program is underwritten by Joan Gillard Sargent, and you can reach us at voices@kcbx.org or 543-2323. Thank you to Wendy Etzen and Kylie Jepson, my guests today. Coming up next is one of my favorite programs on public radio, and that's This American Life. And be sure to come to the film festival. Thanks for joining us today. We've had a great time being part of your day.